listening to Go On with Jess Leach, part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Go On is a weekly chat with interesting people on the topics of style, food, design, and the like. On this episode of Go On, I'm talking to Matt Sorrell, cocktail extraordinaire and co-owner of Cocktails Are Go, a spirits education and bartending company. Matt's skilled craftsmanship can be experienced at Plancher's House in Lafayette Square with libations that'll make you weak in the knees. Matt, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, you're not just some bearded dude behind a bar making cocktails. You're a graduate of Bar Smart's advanced course, and you own a spirit education company. Tell me more about Cocktails Are Go.
Okay. Cocktails Are Go started about 3 years ago. My wife Beth and I started it. And basically, we do small in-home cocktail parties, tastings, some small corporate events, happy hours, that sort of thing. And then we also do classes. We'll do in-home classes, but we just started doing a series at Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves, usually about once a month, where we do classes on different aspects of bartending at home, making it easier for the people to do it on their own.
Yeah, I don't make a lot of fancy cocktails at home because I don't feel like I have all the recipes. Well, or not recipes, the ingredients. I don't feel like I have the ingredients.
Well, one thing we stress is you don't really necessarily have to have a lot of high-speed spirits and mixers and whatnot. I mean, if you go to Planner's House, we have like everything there is to have, right? And which is really nice. But a lot of the cocktails we make, they're delicious. But if you try to make it at home, it's going to cost you like $300 because you had to buy like a bottle of this and a bottle of that. And the stuff we try to do with Cocktails Are Go is really focus on, maybe having one really quality base spirit and then doing things like making your own syrups, making your own juices, using stuff from the grocery store that, would go into a cocktail. It's on something flavorful but low buck.
So like delicious cocktails for dummies.
Yeah, kind of.
I love that. I would be a student of that.
You could totally do that.
So how did you get into cocktails? How did bartending, where did this come from?
I am primarily a freelance writer, so I've been writing for a lot of local newspapers and magazines and publications of all types for a long time, and I started writing food stuff for Sauce back when they first started being a print magazine, I guess around 2001, something like that, with no background in culinary stuff at all. And just as I started getting into it, I started meeting bartenders and people that worked at breweries and people that worked at distilleries, and they were just really, really fascinating. And I thought it was something culinary that I could actually do. The worst that's going to happen is if I mess up something, it's going to be like 3 or 4 ounces of, I'm not going to mess up this beautiful roast, or like totally destroy, waste 8 hours trying to bake bread. It's like, I'm going to make this, it's going to be good. And even if it's not that great, we're still going to drink it. Not that big of a deal.
So you mentioned writing. Mm-hmm. You write a column in a live magazine currently called The Mixologist.
Right.
And it's basically just you telling your stories of the trade, your trade being bartending. So in your column, I was reading the February issue, in your column you mention how you love relating the tale of how Four Roses Bourbon got its name. So how did Four Roses Bourbon get its name?
Yes. Well, one of the forebearers of Four Roses, I can't remember his name, one of the ancestors back in the mid-1800s, was enamored of a certain lady. And for years and years, he pursued her, asked her to marry him numerous times, and she kept turning him down. So finally, he went to her house and said, there was some sort of big dance that night, some sort of big cotillion sort of thing. And he said, I'm kind of tired of chasing you down, so here's the deal. This is the last time I'm going to ask you. So if the answer is yes, I want you to come to the dance tonight with a corsage of Four Roses. If the answer is no, don't wear a corsage at all. And she showed up with the Four Roses on her on her dress, and the rest is history. So it's kind of a cool romantic, kind of goofy, because it is, you do wonder, why are there Four Roses on this bottle?
Yeah, that's fun. So you tell that when you're making cocktails with your Four Roses,
right.
I guess. All right. I like that. So what inspires or influences the recipes that you're making? Is it a certain bitters comes in and you're like, what can I do with this? Or you see something, or, I'm trying to think of an ingredient that's like super hot right now, but kale is the only thing that comes to mind. I don't know if you're making kale cocktails.
Yeah. It kind of depends. Like at Planner's House, what we'll do is, a lot of times we'll get new stuff in and we'll play with it. The owners are really up for everybody, putting recipes forward and trying different things. So we'll play with it. Yeah, new ingredients, or sometimes we'll just sit there and it's seasonal. So we're doing the spring menu. So what's seasonal during the springtime? And then we also do, periodically, we'll do a menu of classics where what we'll do is, you know, we'll take a classic drink and everybody does their own take on it. So that's kind of fun. They'll switch up. So right now we just did the Negroni list. So everybody did a take on a Negroni.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. If it's something for cocktails or go, it really depends on what the client, you know, if somebody says we want you to do something that's like this, we just follow what they want and kind of give them some pointers, you know, again, like it's something that might be seasonal or whatnot. And then we also do something with a company called Tenacious Eats, which is Chef Liz Schuster does this. Right now it's headquartered Food Outreach in Midtown. And she shows a movie, and then she does five courses based on scenes in the movie, parts of the movie.
So
actually, my wife Beth started working with her about a year and a half ago doing this, and then I help her out sometimes. And so we do cocktail pairings with her courses for the movie. And so a lot of times that whatever Liz comes up with, we'll actually go in there and figure out. You know,
oh, that's really fun.
Stuff to pair.
That's a very
so it just kind of depends on what we're doing, you know.
Yeah. Has there ever been like a cocktail recipe that you make over and over for yourself or keep bringing back because it's one of your favorites or just one of the best ones you've ever made?
There's one, and it's still on the list at Planner's House, and I pull it out a lot because it's really easy to do, and it's boozy, and it's
well, that's all I want.
Yeah,
in a cocktail.
Exactly. It's called Grandpa's Medicine. It features old granddad 114 bourbon. Some sweet vermouth, a couple other ingredients. But it's just a fun cocktail. It's really easy to make. And so, like, that's kind of in my back pocket a lot. So if somebody, you know, at the bar says, hey, I want something really boozy, well, here you go.
Perfect. I like that. I mean, how else would you enjoy a cocktail?
Right.
So say I'm a cocktail novice.
Uh-huh.
Where do I start? Is there an introductory spirit? I mean, I'm not. I'm well versed in the whiskeys and the gins
sure.
of the world. But say I was a novice. Is there an introductory spirit for a cocktail novice? Is there a place where you suggest people start? Does it align with what your tastes are, whether you like sweet things or sour things or salty things? Or how does that kind of play? How do you recommend cocktails to people who are like, well, I just drink a vodka soda?
Right. Yeah. Well, what we'll do is, you know, if somebody comes into the bar and says, yeah, for example, like, you know, I usually don't drink cocktails, or if I do, I just maybe drink the occasional vodka tonic or whatever. We'll kind of start from there. But then a lot of times we'll also ask them questions like, if you don't drink cocktails, do you drink wine? Do you drink beer? And if so, what kinds of beer, what kinds of wine, you know, to give an idea like the flavors they like, or
sure.
if they say, well, I don't really drink that much at all, say, well, great. What do you like to eat? You know, just kind of trying to drill down into like what flavors they like and then kind of going from there. So that's the big thing is, you know, what do you like to put in your head, you know, I mean, and go from there.
That's interesting that you bring up like the beer and the wine and the flavors of food, because mixing cocktails is not just about knowing the flavors of the drinks, but when somebody says, okay, well, I drink a lot of Merlots, you have to know the flavors that are in a Merlot and
right.
kind of what that plays to. So you really know a lot about beer and wine as well? Is that
I try
to assume?
I try to. I'm not a sommelier, you know, or anything like that, but I try to keep up at least with a lot of the basics on other types of beverages. Like, you know, I'm not a coffee aficionado either, but I try to at least kind of understand like what some of the roasts
sure.
are.
Sure. Awesome. So what's the best part about being a bartender? I'm sure that there is one. I'm sure there's also a worse part, but I just want to know the good things.
I think for me, it's just the creativity. And I'm lucky enough to work at, you know, like I said, I do shifts at Planner's House and, you know, work with a lot of really talented people, really creative people. And it's a place where they really want you to, you know, try things and you know, it's not just a shot in a beer place, which is, I believe there's nothing wrong with that. I frequent those places quite often, but you know, just the creativity and being able to, you know, kind of play around and, you know, kind of experiment out. That's probably my favorite part of it.
That's great. So do you have a personal motto? Does Cocktails Are Go have a motto?
We actually do. We on our business cards, we have libation education, which we kind of try to, whatever we do, no matter if it's a class or not a class, we try to at least, you know, do interesting things and kind of try to impart some sort of knowledge to people and kind of, we like to empower them to know that you can go home and make these yourself. It's not scary. It's not hard. I'm like a total newbie myself. I mean, I've only been doing it maybe like four years, I guess. So it's not like I've been doing this since I was, you know, a lad. So, you know, it's, you know, I just want to make sure people, you know, don't get put off by it because it's too often, you know, especially now that the mixology thing has hit so hard. There's a little bit of douchebaggery involved and there's a little bit of, you know, pretension, and you know, depending on where you go, and you know, people like to, you know, be snobby about, you know, cocktails, and I mean, really, that's not the point. Is, you know, for everybody to be able to enjoy it, and you know, that's what we really want to try to put forward.
Yeah. So, do you have anything to add?
Oh. I've been writing for Live for several years, but we just started this new column now. So it's once a month, and it's just kind of me talking a little bit about, just, you know, what things I like, things that are interesting, related to bartending and spirits and beer and, you know, all that sort of
thing.
Yeah,
the first one was great. It was about, do's and don'ts with your bartender.
Yeah.
Right. And then, the second one coming out is a tour of Cherokee Street.
Right. And that's one thing I like to do, too, is really focus on areas, because especially the part of Cherokee on this story, it's about some of the bars that have opened up maybe in the last 2 or 3 years, like Whiskey Ring and Livery and Fortune Teller, Art Bar. And, you know, it's that whole section, like, what is it, west of Jefferson. Yeah, west of Jefferson. Because for a long time, that area, I mean, we all knew that, like, the other side of Cherokee had all the antique stores, and it was, you know, Antique Row and blah, 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 which is fine. It's a cool little strip. But, like, the other side didn't really get any attention, and it was kind of, you know, a lot of, you know, rundown buildings, and it, you know, didn't get a lot of love. And then lately, there's been just an influx of, like, really cool stuff happening over there. So I really wanted to focus on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Earthbound is one of the—
Earthbound, exactly.
They just opened up their microbrewery. I think microbrewery is the correct
word. I
think
it's like way microbrewery.
I mean, it's like macro brewery.
No, macro is bigger.
Oh, wait. What's the one that's littler?
Tiny.
Pika? Yeah. Pika? A Pika?
Pika brewery.
Pika brewery. I'm sure they would love me referring to them as right. A Pika brewery. But yeah, they're a tiny, tiny little brewery, but they make some amazing beers. Right. They have a double IPA that is real great, and they have that Mulab SESB that I gave you tonight.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. But yeah, so what other, I guess, neighborhoods do you like to drink in?
Well,
are there other spots? Can I ask you about other
absolutely.
Spots other than Planner's House?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't actually, it's funny because I always tell people that, you know, when I'm not in working in a bar, I don't go to bars that much. I mean, I'm not like a bar fly. When I do go, yeah, I like to go places that are a little bit more casual and laid back. And I actually don't do a lot of the cocktail thing when I'm not working, you know, so I like to go and just have a whiskey somewhere or
sure.
have a beer. So I really like, you know, in addition to, you know, Cherokee, and I do live Lafayette Square, some great places. I really like Lafayette Square. Maplewood, I live in that neighborhood, so I'm down there quite a bit. So I like to go places like the Crow's Nest, you know, just nice, good food, you know, shot in a beer, go on your way.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're not one of those bartenders who always has to have an expertly mixed drink every time you drink a drink.
No, I mean, I think you need to take it in context. You know, people, you know, if you, it's like, you know, am I going to go, you don't go to a dive bar and say, oh, how about a sidecar? You know, that's just, I mean, just look where you're at. I mean, do you think they're going to make, it's just silly. And I know people who do that too.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I can't believe I couldn't get a Negroni at, you know, Tom's or whatever. But then again, you shouldn't be, you know, you should be able to go to Planner's House. If you want to come over there and say, I really want a vodka soda, right on. We will give you, you know, what you want. So yeah, I'm not snobby about, you know, sometimes some things make me cringe. Like if I go someplace and somebody gives like a really weak shake, you know, kind of like, oh man, that's not going to be too tasty, or, you know, or I see him, you know, pouring my, you know, Negroni in a pint glass. Yeah, that's probably not going to be a good experience. But yeah, I try not to be too picky.
Have you seen trend? I mean, obviously with everything, there are trends. And what have you seen happen in the spirits industry and in cocktails in particular, as far as like, you know, you said that Planner's House just did an entire Negroni menu.
Mm-hmm.
Are Negronis like a cool thing again? Were they ever not a cool thing? I don't really know that part, but are you seeing trends within the spirits industry?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, whiskey's still like the big, big thing. It has been for a couple of years now, and you still see a lot of, you know, a lot of focus on that, especially on American whiskeys, you know, bourbons in particular. I see a lot more people getting interested in gin, which is really cool. Like on South Grand, Cafe Natasha has like the gin room now, where they have like this huge gin list and a big bunch of cocktails, and Natasha is really, you know, focusing on that, which is really cool, because gin's one of those things where people are kind of scared of that too. They think they all taste like Christmas trees.
Yeah, raising my hand here.
Right. But yeah, I think gin is one of the things that's coming around. Not as much in St. Louis, but I think it's starting to happen more as we're getting more schooled on things like mezcals, which is a big thing in other, like Kansas City, you know, it's a much bigger thing right now, I think.
Really?
Tequilas and mezcals, as I understand it, than it is in St. Louis. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people doing things with that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend in New York who works at a mezcal bar.
Right, York, you know, what are you going
to do?
Right. That was probably 10 years ago.
But a mezcal bar, like specific to that drink.
Right, right. So I see that stuff like that happening. And then, the local distilling thing is still, coming around. You still see a lot of the distilleries popping up and doing their own thing, which is cool. And the quality is getting up to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I just had Rally Point mm-hmm. for the first time, and that is a smooth, nice whiskey.
Yeah.
It's a whiskey, right?
It is.
Okay.
Dave Weglars is the owner and master distiller over there, and he has quite a few really good spirits. Rally Point Rye is sort of this flagship, I guess. But, that's kind of exciting too, because distilling is a real art and it takes a long time to perfect it. So we're just now getting to that point where a lot of the local distilleries are really up in their game, I think.
Yeah, that's great. So there's a lot happening locally, it sounds like.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and obviously the craft beer thing keeps rolling on.
Right.
I mean, you know, like you said, Earthbound, I think they're technically the latest, I think.
Yeah. They opened in like November.
Yeah. I think they're still like the newest. I can't keep track anymore. But yeah, so, you know, and Schlafly just turned 23.
Wow.
Or 24, I can't remember. But so, yeah.
Schlafly is into their 20s.
Yeah, 1991. So it'll be, I guess this year it'll be 24.
Yes.
All that stuff is still happening. And some of the restaurants and bars around here, even though if they're not a cocktail place, are starting to really have up their lists and having interesting things go into places that you've never thought you'd ever be able to get, like, wow, a really good old-fashioned, and there you go. So,
well, good. I mean, it's lots of exciting things happening in the St. Louis bar scene.
Absolutely.
And cocktail scene. And it sounds like you've got, you know, this great education program through Cocktails or Go to kind of where is the Maplewood? Where's the classes in Maplewood?
Oh, it's actually in Webster.
Webster,
it's a place called Novel Neighbor. It's on Big Bend. I forget the address off the top of my head, but it is right across from where the Scholar Shop is.
Okay.
Right across the street from that. And Holland Salzman is the owner, and it's a really cool bookstore is what it is. Independent bookstore, which I always love. But she has a little class room attached to the in her space, and she has people come in and they do art classes. They do, you know, different types of things. And we started doing cocktail classes over there. And so we've done a Super Bowl one. We did a Valentine's Day one. We're getting ready to do a vodka class in March, and then later in March, and then we're going to be doing a tequila class down the line. So,
like some things I want to sign up for.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
great. Well, thanks for coming and talking to me today, Matt. You can find Cocktails or Go on Twitter.
Yes, actually, it's just Cocktails or Go.
A-R-E, go.
A-R-E, go, all together.
Or you can visit the site, which is...
CocktailsOrGo.com.
Great. You can read Matt's monthly mixologist column in Alive magazine, or you can visit Matt at Planter's House and have him mix you up a delicious drink.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Produced by Hug Monster Sound at Shock City Studios. Thank you for listening. Check out cityinajar.com for more stories and bonus content from this episode. You can also tell me what you thought on Twitter, @JessLeach. Listen in next week when I ask someone else to go on.